Hello.
Okay.
Hey. So, well, you know where it is.
Yeah.
So how are things over at Bristol Port? How do you like it over there?
No complaints. It feels hard to complain about any job that anybody has at this point in time.
As long as
the paychecks keep coming, you won't hear me say a bad word, that's for sure.
Yeah, this coronavirus is setting everything off pace.
Yeah.
People losing their jobs in every field. It's affecting everyone, not just the sports field.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, everything is grinding to a halt. I saw today there was 6 million people are applying for unemployment. They expected 3 million, and it's 6 million instead. So, pretty rough. Is NBA panel what you do full time?
After the NBA panel, I created that like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do it part time.
Got it.
It's just really taking off.
That's awesome.
A lot of hard work.
Yeah.
A lot of hard work.
Yeah.
As a journalist, how has journalism evolved over the years?
Sports journalism or journalism in general?
Both.
Yeah.
I know you cover a wide field.
Yeah.
You cover a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, you know, the big change in journalism, obviously, in the long term or more recent past is the rise of the internet, and that caught journalism off guard because they, at least, you know, major newspapers at first started giving away their content for free on their website, and that was cannibalizing their readership numbers. And so that was horrible. And then the financial crash in 2008 was a really big problem as well, because when companies go into recessions, then they spend a lot less money on advertising. And so journalism was bleeding both out of its subscription model and out of its advertising model.
Right.
I think right now, you know, people are more interested in news than ever. And I do think that to at least some degree, people have started recognizing the value in paying for news. You know, the New York Times keeps setting digital subscription records, which is really encouraging. The thing
right.
that I worry about is the decimation of local news more than anything else. I got my start at my hometown paper in St. Petersburg, and I really value local news. People think a lot about the federal government and the ways that it may or may not be trying to rip us off, and how the current occupant is behaving, of the White House is behaving. But, you know, everything that's happening at the national level is happening at the local level, too. And those politicians, I fear, are having a lot less oversight than they used to. And, so I think that's the most discouraging thing about local news. And yeah, I think you just saw Gannett recently. They've decided that they're going to furlough some of their workers while coronavirus is happening. And this is a time when communities need more information and not less information. So that's troubling to me, but I always try to also keep in mind that, you know, I'm a journalist, so I'm biased towards our own profession.
Very true. So how do you think the country overall has done handling this the virus situation? Well, we had a heads up around in January, but it wasn't taken very seriously, and then we're waiting for the peak, basically, to find out. We can finally level out and be back to normal, hopefully.
Yeah. I think that sports played a really major role in opening people's eyes. And I think that I always say that about sports, but sports is the way that we connect to each other and a way to view life. And I think that without the NBA suspending a season, we would be in a far worse situation than we are. I think the NBA set the example faster than our federal government did, which is, you know, both encouraging from a sports as important perspective, discouraging from a slow-footed federal government response perspective. I think that we've done, from a governmental level, a really poor job of containing the virus. South Korea, and we had the first case on the same day, and you can look and see how their response has really flattened the curve versus, you know, it was just yesterday, on Wednesday, that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis actually issued a stay-at-home order, and Georgia Governor didn't issue one until now. And so I think that was really disappointing, but I think that everyday people, you know, it's always everyday people who come through. And so grocery store workers and healthcare workers and people who are still out making deliveries for food and groceries and restaurants, you know, those people are really, really you know, the people that we can be proud of and that we can, you know, gather around. And at least in my community, I think people have been taking self-isolation very seriously, and that's encouraging because it's not ultimately about just your own health, but the health of your entire community.
Yeah, as you just mentioned, those delivery drivers, those people still working the drive-thrus, they were taken for granted. They were taken for granted before this situation came about. Now they're basically on the front lines of, like you just said, like keeping America sane and together right now, because without them, it would be like chaotic right now. Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, we're discovering who our essential workers are. And unfortunately, they're some of the lowest paid workers that we have in society.
Right.
Even Trader Joe's employees are only making $15 an hour. They're getting hazard pay, which is great. But you think about folks who are making minimum wage at fast foods, and they're literally keeping people fed right now. And that's something that we should really take a look at as a society, the way we reward or discourage the kind of things that really keep our economy going and keep our lives healthy and, you know, fed and everything like that.
Yeah, it was a big move when Rudy Gobert got diagnosed, because, like you said, it opened up a lot of eyes, because it did draw a lot of attention. Some people wouldn't have paid no mind. A lot of people paid more attention to the NBA than they do regular news every day, which is crazy. But NBA is that big. But when Rudy Gobert got diagnosed, it opened up a lot of people's eyes.
I think that's definitely true, and I think it was the case. I think people even underestimate now the kind of courage that took for Adam Silver to suspend the entire NBA season, because every sports league was looking at the other one and hoping that the other one would make a move before it did, because you run into some potentially really complicated battles with the NBA Players Association, with the arenas that you're in contracts with the insurance companies, if you voluntarily shut down the league before the government makes you shut it down. And the NBA led the way. And that was a really, really hard move, I'm sure, for Adam Silver to make, but he did it with the best interests of fans and his players and his workforce in mind. And ultimately, it was the right thing. And like we talked about, I think it's an example that saved a lot of lives.
Yeah, it definitely was a good move, because as the season went, as the typical season got closed, more and more players got diagnosed, from the Lakers players to the Nets players. So it was good he called it when they did, because more players might have got exposed. And especially if we got the more referees and fans in the stands, might have had a better situation that didn't come about, which is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely the players, I'm sure, that he was concerned about the most, because those are his workforce, right? That's how the NBA generates his money, is based on the players. But certainly packing 10,000, 20,000 people into an arena at a time like this was a bad idea. Actually, if you look at Northern Italy, the reason why it was hit much harder than Southern Italy, epidemiologists think, is because of a game that Atalanta played in Northern Italy, and they're calling it Game Zero. That's where the virus really broke out, and I think without that, it would have been a much more contained situation in Northern Italy, and thankfully, our sports leagues decided not to have these mass gatherings. Sports leagues and governors, for the most part, have been the people who have been on the front lines and who have been making the best decisions for us.
Yeah, now the NBA is kind of looking at the CBA, the Chinese Basketball Association, because they tried to get their season back up, but they put it on hold again because it's still crazy there in China right now. But that league won't be looked at as like a blueprint of when NBA might come back.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility. I think that there are a lot of complications with the Chinese Basketball Association, and it's hard to get good information from their players.
Yeah.
I've talked to some just off the record, but they're very reticent to talk on the record about what their experiences are like in China, because that is a source of income for guys who flame out of the NBA, or, you know, they just never quite make it in the NBA, but their volume scores and Chinese fans love them. And so they're really reticent to speak out against the Chinese Basketball Association, but a lot of them are really scared about either going back, or they're already back. Some people never left. And it's a really interesting position to be in. And it's a scary position to be in for a lot of guys, but that is ultimately their livelihood, is playing basketball over there. So it's a really tough spot to be in.
Right. I've seen some reports where some players didn't, like you said, didn't want to speak about it, and they didn't like the way they're being treated. Like, basically they're being thrown out there. Like it's a bad situation.
Yeah, they were threatening. I mean, the CBA was threatening to not pay players who didn't return when they asked them to return, to cancel their contracts. And of course,
yeah.
China is a nationalized government. It's in every industry. And so, you know, they have to be at the service of the Chinese government, versus our National Basketball Association can make its own decisions somewhat independent of the government.
Right. Also, the coronavirus has impacted, like I said, all the major events. The the Olympics have been pushed back to 2021. And this USA men's national team was loaded this year, or potentially would have been loaded. We had a lot of top players. Everyone was really lined up to come back and try and play. But now that we're till 2021 to see which players will be available. One of the things, we might have to help be Kevin Durant, maybe Kyrie, I'm not sure. But there's other national sports that have been impacted by this virus right now.
Yeah, I mean, every single sport right now is suspended that I can find, other than I think pro bass fishing might still be going
on.
But, you know, for the most part, everybody is shut down. I think the Olympics is an interesting question because, so yes, on one side, guys like LeBron James will be a year older. He might be coming off another run to the NBA playoffs, the NBA finals, if that opens up again. So how will the season, the timing of the season affect that? On the other hand, I do think that there is potentially a chance that guys will want to come back and play at the 2021 games. Maybe they were hesitant to play at the 2020 games because they felt like they'd accomplished what they wanted to.
Right.
I think that people will be really eager to participate in these games, because if you think and hope like I do that by next year we'll have some kind of return to normal and this virus will be in some ways contained, maybe we'll have a vaccine, maybe herd immunity will have kicked in, maybe our governmental responses will have been strong enough to at least minimize the risk. The 2021 games are going to be this opportunity for everyone to come together as a world and celebrate athleticism and health and life. And I think that that will encourage a lot of guys who maybe were on the fence about playing this year to play next year if they're able to, depending on the NBA schedule. It's just there's so many unknowns.
Yeah, the NBA schedule is going to be very important for a lot of reasons, because if it starts the season later, and you like a December start, then the season will run into the Olympics. So it's going to be – the schedule is going to be very important when it gets situated, whenever that may be.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a long time. I think people should prepare for there not to be much basketball for a very long time, for several months more.
Yeah, one of the greatest owners of the NBA, Mark Cuban, has recently came out and said he has no idea when the NBA is going to return, because apparently the players and the owners are on the same page. They want to try and salvage the season. But right now, everyone's at the mercy of this coronavirus, because we don't know, they don't have a handle on it yet. But,
yeah, I think the most likely way that the NBA comes back this season, if it does come back this season, is that there is an advancement in testing, and that some of the same day, like the 45-minute test, there's one that they're working on in California. So I think that they could come back if the NBA was able to buy enough tests that before every game they could test every player, every official, every necessary person in there, so that they could create a safe environment and play games without fans. I think that's probably the most likely case if the NBA is to come back this year.
Yeah, because I think if they even tried to involve fans, it would be too much right now, because they have to take everyone's fever before they come to the game. And some people might not tell the truth about having symptoms before they get to the game. Like, there'd really be no way to tell if someone's lying or not. Like, someone could have been traveling too far, but it could have been around someone that was sick, and they can get to the game and lie and say it was around anyone that was exposed. Or it would be too much right now, I think.
Right. No, I don't think that there's any way that the NBA comes back unless that there is a way to actually have a COVID-19 specific test which results in less, which gives you the results in less than an hour. You're not just going to go based on symptoms, because of course what we've learned about this virus is that you can transmit it even if you're asymptomatic. Even if you're showing those symptoms, you can still be a carrier and you can still be giving it to people. So the NBA wouldn't take that risk for its workforce, and certainly not for fans. That's a huge liability.
Exactly. Yeah, the scary thing about this virus is some people don't, like you said, you don't know if you have it or not. You can give it to someone else. Some people it affects, some people it affects lightly, and some people it's deadly. This is really uncharted territory right now. Like, it's crazy. How do you feel about the Big Three putting together a quarantine reality show with their own Big Brother producer? It would bring basketball back to the it would bring us some type of basketball. I mean, I understand what Ice Cube's doing. Ice Cube's doing the same with the Big Three.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, I think that people will be so desperate for any kind of basketball, any kind of sports, any kind of entertainment that it has the real potential to take off. I personally am a fan of the Big Three. I think it's been a really fun thing that has happened over the summers. I know some people make jokes about it or whatever, and that's totally fine. But I think for the most part, it's been really great fan service. It's been fun to see players, you know, that I remember from my childhood out there and having a lot of fun and competing. And, you know, they're not the best basketball players in the world anymore, but there's still some highly competitive basketball. I'm not sure about the reality show aspect of it, only because I personally am not a big reality TV show viewer. I've really never seen an episode of Big Brother, but the idea of the drama of them in the house together, you know, I've been around NBA players in their homes when they're hanging out together, and it is funny. They make fun of each other. They, you know, are good times. They're good hangs for the most part, so I think it should be compelling television, and frankly, I'm looking for anything that's not Tiger King.
Yeah, a lot of us are waiting for the Jordan documentary to drop. They just recently let it out. They're going to release it early, so
yeah,
just waiting on that also.
Yeah, I think that's going to be great too. A 10-part documentary. That's
yeah.
At least we've all got time on our hands to watch it.
Definitely, and they're going to space it out too, so it'll hopefully take up some of the downtime we're having. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah, absolutely.
The NBA and the National Basketball Players Association is thinking about holding back some of the players' salaries. How do you feel about that? Well, that was in the CBA anyway when they signed it. So not the CBA, but an agreement.
CBA, right?
CBA when they signed it. So players know about it. But I don't think a lot of players really paid any mind, because this is a situation right now. It's unprecedented. So now the owners are able to force majeure.
No,
that clause, they can activate it. So what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I just actually spoke to a sports attorney, and he mentioned the fact that actually the NBA doesn't even have to invoke force majeure. So force majeure is just like, it just means it's an act of God. And so it's something that's out of control for either party that makes the contract basically meaningless, right? So the example that this guy used to me was, say you enter into a contract with a guy who's going to paint your house and your house burns down. Well, that's considered force majeure, because what's he going to paint? He doesn't have your house anymore, so you've got other houses to deal with, so the contract is nullified. The NBA actually has a pandemic clause in the CBA, which allows them, even without invoking force majeure, not to pay players. I think Adam Silver recognizes that it'd be a very bad look for him not to pay players, especially when the owners of teams are primarily billionaires who can afford it for the interim. And I think that he doesn't want the potential of a labor dispute when he wants to bring the season back.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was some sort of collective bargaining that led to, you know, a lowering pay or to some sort of percentage based on how much they can get back. But, you know, at the end of the day, just like everybody else in the world, other than maybe healthcare companies, major sports leagues are going to lose money. Athletes are going to lose money. Everybody is going to lose money. The economy is in a deep recession, and it's not clear when that's going to come back. So somebody's going to have to foot the bill here, and it'll be up to Adam Silver primarily to decide whether he wants to do that, absorb the cost now for the long-term health of the league, or potentially set up a dispute with his players that could lead to a delay of the games coming back. I don't think that's in anyone's best interest, and I think the owners who Adam works for recognize that, and I don't think they're going to push hard not to pay the players unless it becomes clear that there's no chance that the season can return in any form at all.
Yeah, they're doing all they can to try and salvage it, as we said earlier. But I think it would be. I think it would be a bad look, because most owners call flat because they weren't like covering some of the concessions, the workers for the stadiums, and players were coming out doing it, even though they really didn't get a chance to respond before the players came out. But, you know, media and a lot of people didn't like that players like Zion and Kevin Love were paying for workers that weren't going to be played for games that were going to be canceled. So,
yeah, I think that it's irresponsible of any owner who didn't immediately come forward and offer to pay their seasonal and hourly workers. I think, again, it's the NBA players, and it's then normal people that we were talking about who are always the people who have the conscience and always the people who are willing to help out and make sacrifices. The
right.
truth of the matter is that it's not much of a sacrifice for a billionaire NBA owner to continue to pay his hourly workers so that
right,
they can continue
right.
to live. I mean, this isn't a matter of whether they are going to be able to go out and do whatever things that billionaires worry that we do with our money, buy video games, God forbid, or go see a concert
yeah.
or something like
right.
that, whatever they're worried about. This is a matter of people being able to pay for their rent, being able to buy food and put food on their tables, being able to make sure that their kids can be still in school. I mean, this is important stuff. This is life or death for people. And so I was encouraged by the way that the NBA players set this example and, frankly, put pressure on the owners to act responsibly.
Yeah, definitely. The Knicks are eyeing Elton Brand, which I think he's a good GM. He's made good moves with the Sixers. But Al Horford over, even though the experiment didn't work out that well. You think he'll be able to help the Knicks, or is this just a dueling thing right now?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine what it's gonna look like. I was just on another show the other day, and I said, I'm optimistic about coronavirus, but I don't know if I can be so optimistic as to believe that the Knicks will be relevant again next year.
Right.
I do have confidence in Leon Rose. I think he is a smart guy. I think that he has great relationships around the league. I think that New York, for whatever reason, does remain an attractive option. People like the idea of playing in the Garden. They like the idea
right.
of a really passionate fan base. They like the idea of a big market. And so it just takes a certain level of competence to turn this around. And I think that has more to do with how involved James Dolan will be and less to do with Elton Brand and Leon Rose, who, like I said, are competent people and should be able to turn that operation around if they're given the latitude to make it happen.
Right. One thing I wanted to touch on, do you think when the NBA does return, if they try and salvage this season, do you think this will go straight to the playoffs or have regular season games? Because I honestly think the players need to tune up, because they're going to be off for at least 2 good months before the season returns.
Yeah.
I think they're going to need time to get back into game form. Some players are keeping in shape, but they can't. You can't re-simulate NBA games off court, so
yeah.
I think they're going to need time to get.
Yeah, I think that that's right. I mean, if you see what preseason games looks like, you know, that's what's going to be what you're going to see
rough.
Out here,
rough.
Right?
Yeah.
I think no matter what happens this season, if it does come back, the champion will have kind of an asterisk around them because we'll recognize that teams like Milwaukee, which were having just a historic, incredible season, didn't end up winning the championship. That's not necessarily a fault of their own. This all got interrupted in ways we could have never anticipated. The best model that I think is to have some kind of exhibition games to let players get warmed up, to your point. You know, do a couple weeks where, you know, you get division rivals back up and play a few games. And then I'd like to see the NBA just go into a kind of maybe March Madness single elimination tournament, maybe for the first round or the second round, and then do a best-of series when you get maybe to the conference finals, whatever that looks like, to the Final Four, and the championship if you can play, say, a best-of-five series. But all of that depends on when it's going to be safe for players to play again, and if there's maybe one state where they could all play in. I think some people have talked about doing this all in Las Vegas,
Nevada
is able to do this. So I think that's a great idea if there is the possibility. I'm for the NBA season coming back in any way, if it's possible for the players, fans, officials, everybody to be healthy and safe while they're doing it. I think we all would be. I think even LeBron James, who said he wouldn't want to play in fans, probably would come around to the idea of giving people at home something to look forward to after what will have been a very long several months.
Yeah, definitely. The sport is missed.
Yeah,
missed.
Every sport is missed. Everything is missed.
Yes, everything. Something we took for granted.
Yep, absolutely.
They're magnified right now. David, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining me.
Yeah, my pleasure,
John. Enjoy talking to you.
Likewise.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yep, no problem, John. Have a great one. Stay safe.
You too.